The Central Asian nation of Kyrgyzstan is still recovering from a turbulent 2010. A bloody revolt ousted its president in April of last year. Then in June, ethnic violence in the south left more than 400 people dead. 1 year later, Kyrgyzstan is moving forward from those terrible times. The country has scheduled a presidential election in October. It's part of a plan to make Kyrgyzstan more democratic than its authoritarian neighbors. But Lily Jamali reports from Osh that Kyrgyzstan's violent past remains all too present today.
Adina has vivid memories of the violence that gripped southern Kyrgyzstan last year. Her teenage son was shot several times. He was hospitalized for days before Adina found him.
His condition was very bad. He was badly wounded. At first, I didn't recognize him.
Adina is an ethnic Uzbek from a majority Uzbek neighborhood in Osh. Most ethnic Uzbeks here live in temporary structures. Kyrgyz mobs destroyed their homes during the ethnic violence in southern Kyrgyzstan last year. Adina lives in limbo, and she seems to have given up hope.
I don't have the will to live. After something like this, you lose interest in everything.
Across town is an ethnic Kyrgyz neighborhood. A Kyrgyz grandmother named Sharipa Abdikerimova is also living in a temporary shelter. Abdikerimova lost her home last year, too, to an Uzbek mob.
I want peace, and I hope nothing like that happens again.
Different narratives have emerged to explain how what people here call the June events began. An independent international commission found that both sides committed acts of violence, but most of the victims were Uzbek. The commission also uncovered evidence that Kyrgyz law enforcement at times participated in the attacks. The release of the commission's final report prompted the parliament to ban the report's lead author, a Finnish politician, from entering Kyrgyzstan. That decision and others have led to cynicism about the government's handling of the aftermath of last year's ethnic violence. Ule Solvang is a researcher with Human Rights Watch. He says Kyrgyz authorities have not done their job.
There has been a failure to provide justice for the victims, and that failure is part of what prolongs the tensions between the Kyrgyz and the Uzbeks.
Rebuilding has begun here in Osh, but the charred remains of many homes and shops still mar the city. A Kyrgyz woman named Talay Bubu lost her stand at the bazaar when a mob overran it.
They broke into my stall, and they burned it down.
Talay Bubu recently met a group of women, Kyrgyz and Uzbek, in similar situations. They've formed a group that provides legal help to female entrepreneurs. Such partnerships offer some hope for the future, but old attitudes remain. Many Kyrgyz fear that ethnic Uzbeks in southern Kyrgyzstan want to secede, and Uzbeks still feel marginalized by the ethnic Kyrgyz-dominated government. Eric McGlinchey of George Mason University says reconciliation can only come when that changes.
There has to be some kind of, greater incorporation of the Uzbek population in particular into the political structures and the military and the police structures of southern Kyrgyzstan if Kyrgyzstan is going to get beyond this underlying ethnic divide that they now have.
Meanwhile, Kyrgyzstan is moving closer to becoming Central Asia's first parliamentary democracy. The United States backs the new model, but Kyrgyzstan's former master, Russia, opposes it. There are American and Russian military air bases in Kyrgyzstan, and in addition to the ethnic rivalries here, there may also be a nascent Islamic militant movement. The U.S. certainly doesn't want to see a failed state here. For The World, I'm Lily Jamali in Osh, Kyrgyzstan.